Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining me today. Today I will be walking us through three little steps and take you to an introduction of the meeting architecture process. And that's actually three words, and so my session is built into three sections. And number three is meeting, the second one is meeting architecture, and the number one is meeting architecture process. So we'll go from three to one, and we will build word by word up to the meeting architecture process. My name is Martin, I'm from Belgium. With MPI since 99, and a pleasure to be here today in Malaga. I did not expect so many people, so I'm a little nervous actually. No, I'm not. I didn't expect this many people because of the introduction. It says something like management tool, and so I was thinking nobody's going to come because this is about management, but now I understand. I see all smart people in the room now, all these more senior people in the room, and I think also at least half of the corporate planners are here, so that's good as well, because this is really something that is a handy tool for corporate organizations in meetings and conferences. Number three, meeting. When I use the word meeting, I mean everything that we organize that brings people together, where people meet. Recently, I still heard somebody use the word mice, and I think that's kind of out of date. There's people that say face-to-face meetings. There's people that say planned meetings or planned events and face-to-face events, so you have all these words, but that's, for me, is all into meetings. And just because I think the key element in meetings is when people meet and people meet each other. And lots of stuff happens when people meet each other. Not only that they travel and they go to a nice destination like this one and stay in a nice venue, but also amongst the people. And I think that's the key element of meetings. The industry today is a lot around the destination and venue. If you look at industry magazines, and we have some people from the media here, and they will probably acknowledge that the source of their income is mainly venues and destinations. And so because that is taking up 80% of the budget, usually, it's what keeps us busy, it's what pays the bills, it's what pays taxes to the local government, and with those taxes we're funding the CVB, and the CVB is trying to find more groups that come to the venue to create more taxes, and we have this circle that goes around. And I make the analogy of the shell, and it's a very nice shell in which the meeting takes place, but it's not about the substance. The substance is what's really important. It's what happens amongst the people, and that's the pearl inside of that shell. So what happens amongst people is of crucial importance, and I think whenever I ask meeting planners why they organize meetings, they always say something like education or networking or the motivation of participants, of exchange of information, all kinds of descriptions. But never do people say we are taking 400 people to Malaga to feed them or to make them sleep in a strange bed. That's not why MPI is organizing this meeting, okay? So I think what happens amongst people is crucial, and even a rock and roll organization like MTV is recognizing that. I had the pleasure to meet Gary Pagano in New York, and he's the head of the events department at MTV. So he's a cool guy. And he just lost one-third, I think, of his team because of, you know, the crisis. And in MTV, obviously, that's based, related to advertising, because they lose their advertising income, and so they don't have the money anymore to do their own internal events. But he also organizes the MTV Awards, you know, where all these famous people come and win prizes. So they are looking to create more value between the kids that come to their concerts and their events. So they're doing research at the moment to find out what this could be and how they could create more value on the content side of their concerts. So if MTV is doing it, I guess it's gotta mean something. I think we all need to look at the content side of meetings, and I think the ROI methodology is very much helping us to do that. And I guess most of you have seen this ROI pyramid, right? Yes, you've seen it. See, all the senior people are here. They've all seen the ROI pyramids, where you have the creation of the satisfaction at the bottom level, level number one. But it's on top of that level you build learning, and with the learning, people apply this in their business, and when they apply it, it creates an impact, and the impact creates money, and that's how we actually believe that we generate value in on a financial model. Now, this is the client. I don't know if you recognize this. Some of you may be the client, but this is the client, the picture of the client on the content side of meetings. It's not easy to communicate. It's not easy to get the information you would like. I was in a room just a week ago in Brussels, and I had like a number of agencies in the room, and I was asking, did you ever see a written briefing on the objectives, you know, written and measurable and specific objectives for the meeting or the event that you're involved with? And everybody said, I'm in the industry since 20 years, and I've never seen a written briefing on the objectives of the meeting. So this is kind of the picture that we paint when we look at the content side of meetings and how this relates to the people that own those meetings. Obviously, it's only a picture, so, you know, your reality may be a little different, and I'm sure that there is more than one meeting planner in the room that does write very clear and detailed objectives. Now, this is an exercise that I usually do when I ask the audience, why do you organize meetings? And then we get those post-its, and we put them on a post-it note. In this session, we will skip that because it was specifically asked to end on time. So the words you get, I have 200 of them, different words, and they're all categorizable in three big groups, and so that's actually what is part of the next phase, which is meeting architecture. And meeting architecture is actually a book that I wrote in almost two years ago now, and with the support of SpotMe. I don't know if you've seen it, but I have a copy of everybody here, so if you want to take one home with you later, you can go ahead and take one, and if you're quick, you can maybe take two. I know some people do that, you know, taking two books, but I have enough for some of you that have a dear colleague or an important person in the meetings industry. So feel free. Thank you, SpotMe, for helping us with that. In that book, what I try to do is create kind of schedule, a framework in which I think we can organize meeting content, everything that happens on the content side in meetings. And these are a couple of people that have been helping with the creation of a paper. It's a white paper with almost the same name, The Meeting Architecture Manifesto. And my book is called Meeting Architecture, A Manifesto. And this is a short document that describes what these people were thinking to take the meeting architecture thing forwards with the industry. And so you can take one of those as well. I don't think I have enough for everybody, so please don't take two. The paper is out, and now we're moving into the next stage where we have a project that we will develop educational components that we will bring to MPI, we will bring to other associations, and move ahead with the content of meeting architecture and create some interesting, I hope, educational things. Meeting architecture process, which is the title of this session, actually is built based on that book, and I felt as soon as I wrote it that it was very easy. For me, it was going to be very easy to put everything into a process, like a number of steps that you can take to develop the content side of meetings. So we'll get back to that later. This is something for both procurement professionals as well as meeting planners. Procurement people will look at it as a methodology they can apply to their organization and really use meeting architecture process as a standard operating procedure for all their meetings above a certain cost level. So something in there for everybody. There is a couple of them taking place. So MMAP is actually also a training, a one-day or two-day training. And there's a couple of them taking place in Brussels and Finland with the MPI chapter there and the ROI week in Ireland. So you can, if you think this is interesting, you can have more in one of those training sessions later. The curriculum, the body of knowledge for meeting architecture starts with the participant. And this graph actually is a very simple picture, and we call it the bullseye graph, where you have the participant in the middle and the process around it is the process called meeting architecture process. And so first of all, you start with us with defining the objectives. So the first question is, what are your objectives? And you have those three groups, the learning, the networking, and motivation. That's the three big groups of things that happen for participants at meetings. So you have, that's the first circle. These are the objectives. Second circle is design, is in the phase of designing the meeting. And then you see what the things you can do before, during, and after the meeting. All very simple, all very straightforward, all very clear. Then you need a number of tools. In the design of the meeting, you use a number of tools. And these are tools from which trade, you think? Is this from a dentist or... Well, the dentist actually, you know, in the past, the barber used to be the dentist. So you went to the barber to have a haircut or to have, I guess, your tooth pulled, right? With a, how do you call that? Very simple tool.
Pliers.
And they just put them on your sore tooth and pull it out. That's... You know, in the medieval medicine, this is the toolkit of the dentist, which is the barber at that stage. I think for our industry, we are actually almost in the same time zone as far as meeting architecture is concerned. So, looking at the content side of meetings, I mean, this is obviously a little, you know, picture again. I'm painting a little metaphor, but if you look at the tools of dentists today. How many tools can a dentist in the year 2010 pick from? What do you think? How many tools? 25 tools? 200 tools? Ambitious? More? Do we have more?
10.
Anyone more?
All in one.
All in one? It's 500,000. So there is a catalog for a dentist today, and it takes... You know, 500,000 tools to go to the end of the catalog. So that's, you know, that's the kind of evolution I think we are looking at with meeting architecture as well. So you have these tools, and I've put them in a very simple categories, conceptual tools, human tools, art, technical, and technology. And so the C-H-A-T-T-Y is together, it's the word chatty. Helps me to remember when I talk to my clients, you know, did we talk about conceptual things and human? How do we work with facilitators, for example, or train the trainer people? Did we look at art, at music, at design, at color, those things? Did we talk enough about technology, you know, the technical things first, you know, audio-visual staging, set building, and then finally technology, Did we think about technology? And the idea is that if you take your SpotMe, for example, very simple. What does SpotMe do? SpotMe is technology, right? And you use it during the meeting to improve the networking, you know, very simply put. So if you have objectives in a meeting, and the more specific you are, the more specific your choice becomes of your tools, you know, very specific learning objectives can maybe already start before the meeting, and maybe you can use some people that make phone calls to enhance, you know, the learning of your participant before the meeting. So that's kind of the way this model works. The idea is that in that toolbox you can actually put everything that you can do to increase the value of meetings on the content side. And then it becomes a little more crowded. We can learn a lot, I think, from a lot of professions and from sciences. And so, for example, psychology, or sociology, as a science, is obviously very important for meetings and conferences. So a lot of things that we need to learn, we need to go back to school, and or maybe create a certification in meeting architecture, and that's going to take a long time before we get there. But in the meantime, we can start with what we have, what is in our toolcase today, and work with that in identifying objectives, designing the meeting, and ultimately using ROI methodology to measure the results. The tools you can find today, and we're trying very hard to put everything on there, is the meetingsupport.org website. And there is a group of companies, including SpotMe, that are a member. And if you want a list of those, you can take one too. And the website is there. And it's an open source website. So if you have a tool that's not yet on there, you can publish it yourself as well. Which brings us to the reason why you're here today, which is the meeting architecture process. So based on that structure of the participant is important, we have learning, networking, and motivation to look after when we organize meetings. There's stuff we can do before, during, and after the conference, and we can use conceptual, human, art, technical, and technology tools to influence those and to support those objectives. So what MAP does, meeting architecture process, is mainly focusing on identification of objectives and designing the meeting. I think identification of objectives is something that is probably the most important thing that we need to introduce. A lot of this is very non-rocket science. It's not rocket science. It's very simple. But it's something that is rather quickly skipped. Looking at identification of objectives and just spending time only on that is, I think, a challenge in many cases. The second phase, obviously, is the design of the meeting. And then, obviously, the execution becomes rather straightforward once you have a well-designed meeting and afterwards assessment of results. I have a copy of this document for each of you as well, and maybe we can start distributing those right now. Do you want to help me with that? Thank you. So what this is the short version. There is a long version of this as well, and I have a couple of slides with that version. But before we move in that, are there any questions at the moment? Who knows about strategic meeting management? Strategic meeting management. What is strategic meeting management? Do you want to use the microphone because we are recording the session?
In our business, it's a method or concept surround evolving around the overall procurement of meetings within an organization. So it's really a strategy that an organization might embrace to control their spend and to collateralize all their meetings.
Okay. Everybody agreeing with that? Strategic meeting management is about procurement. It's about overall corporate-wide buying suppliers, buying venue, buying and spend control. In NBTA, do you know NBTA, National Business Travel Association? Have you heard of them? They have a certification now in strategic meeting management. And they have included the one-day training on MAP as part of that strategic tool. And it's because they realize that it's not only about controlling spend, but also about increasing value on the content side. So if you have a well-controlled spend, but you create no value, then it's still money that you throw away. So NBTA has embraced this tool to help their members in procurement to support the teams that organize meetings in finding a way that is very simple and straightforward. When teams are sitting down and they're talking about the meeting, to make them focus on the content side of meetings and really concentrate and zoom in on specific areas. Because I think the challenge that we have is when you're organizing a meeting and you start thinking about everything that you can do, it's a really complicated thing. I mean, all the relations between all these people, all the speakers, the kinds of content you have, how to design the program. There's so many variations, there's so many things you can do that it's a very complicated thing. And if you've ever been in the seat of the meeting owner, you will realize how difficult it is to see very clearly. And obviously it's even more difficult if it's the first time you're doing a specific meeting for a specific group. So what this does is it's creating a framework based on that circular graph that we've seen before, and it uses a number of very simple templates for the use at a meeting. So let's say you are a meeting that's organizing a conference, and so you are the meeting owner, and you're maybe from marketing, and you're maybe from HR, and you're doing the logistics, and there's somebody else from another department. You have a group of people that you now can you use this tool, and everybody gets a copy like this one on the table. But you, as a meeting architecture process professional, you have the full version, which is 16 pages, and helps you to get more inspired and to prepare a little bit the night before and to make sure that you have a credible tool and a credible story to tell to those people. Because this is something that meeting planners have told me over and over again, is that it's a very scary thing to move into that space of the meeting owner if you're a planner from the logistics side, and to sit around that table with the meeting owner and that team, that corporate team or an association team, and to be part of that conversation. Because usually you're not invited. People don't think that the meeting planner is the right person to work with on the content side of meetings. And so that's what this MAP document and process is trying to accomplish, is to create a more comfortable situation for meeting planners. So there's a number of in the full document, there's a number of things that you can use to prepare yourself and describe the profile of the participant and other stakeholders and a little history of the event. But what's really important is, and that's on your first, or the first page inside the document, is sitting down and talking about objectives. So when you look at this page 2, you will see that there is a very simple structure there, and it's not no more than 3 groups. But if you look at the screen, and this is then your the document that you use for your own purpose, and it helps you on the education side with a number of bigger ideas, like, for example, it's not always about a presenter speaking to an audience, but it's also about what people learn from each other. Or maybe we can learn something from our participants by, for example, asking them about their idea for our new strategy for the future of our organization, of our company. So these are a number of those ideas that you can use. And the same thing with networking. What kind of networking are we talking about? Is it social networking or business networking or all kinds of things that you can put on the table? And here's the number of words that you can, maybe the night before, you can think about, you can prepare yourself with, and maybe even during a meeting you can name those words and ask people if they think this is important or not important for their conference. So what we're going to try to do now is you have to come up with a written objective for each of those around your table. So let's say we look at this meeting, the MPI educational meeting in Malaga, and you are part of the organizing team. And so first of all, we need one very specific and measurable learning objective, and then we'll try a very specific and measurable networking objective, and then we'll try a very specific and measurable motivational objective. And so you will try to write it down on this page and come up with a way of measuring them as well. What is it that you will look for? So you get 5 minutes to do this. All right. Time's up. So, how many of you have one objective in each of the three categories? Yeah, we have a winner. You win you can take three copies if you want. Now, this is just a very quick taste of the intensity of the conversation you get around the table when you really decide to sit down and look at objectives. I've been in a couple of those meetings before, and it's really exciting to do this. And you know, the most challenging thing is to avoid talking about design, because if you have, especially in those project teams of meetings, you quickly have creative people around the table, and very quickly you move from objectives into the design, because that's the fun part. So if somebody says, we need to have more networking, and somebody says, yeah, let's look at SpotMe, and then you have the conversation about SpotMe, and you're not talking about the objective anymore. So you have to police this meeting. You have to police it and facilitate it in a way that everybody stays focused on the objectives. And how long do you think is useful? How much time do you think is useful to spend on only objectives? Half an hour? Is this what kind of meeting are you talking about? This one?
About discussion.
Discussing
about the goals.
Yeah. So you're spending like half a million. You're a corporation now. You spend half a million in half an hour. No. That's quick. See, this is what it's about. It's about, we are spending so much money and we are not spending a lot of time on talking about the objectives. Not enough. It's never enough, I guess, but what is reasonable, you think? Somebody said 2 days? 2 days. 30%
of the time.
Whose time? The meeting owner? For example, I'm a marketing person or a product manager. How much time do I spend with you on meeting objectives? Just on talking about why do we organize this meeting?
As much as needed.
As much as needed, that's a good one. Yeah? There's no right answer. Sorry?
Depending on the size of the project.
Absolutely. If it's a small meeting and you're spending, one day, and then usually, maybe half an hour is fine. Yeah.
I meant for the final conversation between me as a planner.
Okay.
And the host actually organizes.
Yeah. Okay. And that's in as a.
Half an hour. If we are prepared for that.
Can we have the microphone? Always when somebody's.
If we are prepared.
You have to be quick. Where's your rollerblades?
I don't need it. Anyway, if we are prepared, I'm thinking of if we are prepared for that meeting. You gave us actually 5 minutes.
Five minutes now, yes.
5 minutes today. And if we are prepared for that conversation, if I explore who's client, what he wants, what he's dealing with, and I think that half an hour for the first meeting, not the final, not the final, will be enough.
Okay. Okay. Somebody says 2 days. Is that too much? 2 days? For a big one, yes, I guess. Yeah. Depends on size, yes.
I don't know. It's only my opinion, but I don't understand why depending on size. Important and content doesn't have to do with size at all.
You two have to reconnect after the session during coffee and see what you come up with. But I think both points have value.
You can have a small meeting with few people
lasting
one day and be the most important meeting of their lives.
Yes, the board meeting of Mercedes and the board meeting of Chrysler getting together to merge the companies.
Yeah, I don't know, whatever. Yeah.
You may need a little more than you know, just a half an hour. Anyway, it's clear that we have different opinions on this, but it's also clear that you need some serious time. And I think, you know, for a medium-sized corporate organization, just talking about objectives, half a day is already a victory. If you can get the marketing manager for half a day sitting down with a number of people of his company and a meeting planner or a meeting architect or a meeting designer to spend half a day with you, that's a victory, because that's, you know, that's a lot to get from those people. Because, you know, they are product managers or marketing managers. They have different things that they need to do. So half an hour is maybe too short, but in some cases it may be enough. But it's more than we do today. That's, I think, the big point. There is so much stuff that you can talk about. And challenge, I repeat, is to keep people just focusing on the objectives. Now, the whole tool has a number of flow charts. And again, we're not going to look at all the details, obviously. It would take us a week to do that. But you have the learning, networking, and motivation track in there. And so a number of check boxes and tick boxes that you can use. This is zooming in a little bit on that, and, you know, a number of steps that you can take to move into that conversation about objectives. I think it would be easy to spend 2 days as well, but I don't think you will always get so much time. Then, what do? We now have the objectives. We spent a lot of time thinking about those. We've defined those. I was just talking to a guy from MCI who was looking at a large meeting, and they have, just for corporate social responsibility, have defined 100 measurable and written objectives. So it can be quite intense. Now, once you have those, what is then the next phase? You go into the design of the meeting. How much time would you leave between those two meetings? Because I think it's separate meetings. Would you do it in one day, or is that going to be too much? Leave some time in between the objectives and the design. Usually a couple of weeks is fine, and that helps you to prepare and maybe search for some smart ideas as well, so that you can come up with you know, things that you've researched based on the specific objectives that they have defined. So the big question is, how do we support those objectives? What is it that we are going to do? And so here we have the five categories again. Don't forget to look at each of them. Try to find something in each of those categories. And so now we're moving into the next page number 3, which has those five categories as well as the before, during, and after. So pick one of your objectives and spend 5 minutes in trying to find some tools that you can use in each of those categories to support them. Just one objective, okay? 5 minutes again. Time's up. And we're also coming close to the end of this session. So I can feel the frustration in this room. I can smell it, actually. You need more time for this, and I would love to spend more time on this, because, you know, some people didn't really see, you know, what is human. How do you interpret, you know, human? Is that, you know, it's, for example, an objective is we need to meet, everybody in the conference needs to meet 10 new people. What is human? A human could be an actor. You could have an actor that facilitates the networking. Actors are outside, and when there's two individuals walking outside, and the actor brings them together, that's the human tool that you use to support the networking objective. But it's just probably lots of those questions right now. Maybe you have a...
I understand, I've read the book and I understand the concept, but for example, human, when you go human,
I can really see it during the meeting, but what do you mean by human before and after?
Before.
How would you use that?
For example, you have had your meeting and the objective is everybody needs to meet 10 new people. Of course, the meeting itself is not the objective, because we want to reach the ROI level, so we want those people to do something after the meeting. So what somebody could do is pick up the phone, that's a human, picking up the phone from MPI, calling me and asking me, do you still know where your business cards are? Did you get the business cards from SpotMe? Did you do something with them? Are there any interesting people there? Are you planning to do some business with them? 5-minute call and then move on to the next one. That's a human calling those people after the conference to enhance the networking objective, for example. Any other questions? Okay. I think there must be a million questions. Yes, here we have one. And here's another one.
I just speak for myself, but I think a lot of us found this very interesting. It's a pity we didn't have enough time to understand the concepts.
Okay.
In order to be able to develop more, is there anywhere where we can get the information?
Yes.
In your website or in a book? Or
I think one of the things we could do is in your feedback after this session, if you are interested and if you think this is valuable, what you can do is ask MPI to spend more time on this. We could do a longer session, a pre-conference session. We could do chapter tour. There's probably a lot of things we can do. And as you can see, there is one happening in Helsinki, Finland, which is initiative from the MPI chapter there. So that's a way you could maybe make this happen, asking MPI to spend more time on this. And I realize it's impossible to explain. It's just an introduction to the tool. And some people will be able to use some of that already. But to really understand it and really go deeper into it, it takes more time. I agree. And so a 2-day training. We did a 1-day training, and everybody said this should be a 2-day training. Okay, so yeah, I know. A 1-day training is fine to really understand the tool and to really work with it and really do case studies and have multiple objectives. But then people are asking questions like, well, how do I use this? Am I now a meeting architect or just a facilitator? So that's what the second day is about, is getting more comfortable and talking to your colleagues and peers and learning how to use this in practice. You had another question?
It was more of a thought that maybe it would be great to get a case study on it as a best practice. Okay, one case, how did they do it? What kind of objectives and how did they choose to do it before, during, after, for the like a pre-filled, just to get an idea of what kind of things could it be?
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. And I think the more of these trainings we can do, the quicker we have more and more cases. And then actually a case is also what we do. We also have a case that everybody works on during those 1-day trainings and 2-day trainings. So it's case studies that we need, but we don't have them yet because it's so young and new. But I'm sure we will have them in the future, and we'll probably use those and publish those as well. So now we need your feedback. Everybody knows how this works. Can you help me with that?
Spot me.
From the main menu, you select messaging, and then in the inbox, and you open the survey.
Does anybody need any help with SpotMe?
No.
Very good.
So, sorry? Yes, he can explain how it works quickly.
Hello, you should have all actually received a message from SpotMe. So your device should have vibrated. And it'll come up on the screen, SpotMe desk. So all you do is view it, click on the green button to view it, and then that will bring it up, and then all you do is arrow down until the first, and it'll tell you to select whatever event or whatever meeting you're in. Obviously, we're in this one. So it'll ask you to select that one. You click on it, and then answer the questions. Just arrow down and click on them.
Okay.
And then reply at the bottom.
All right, I'm not going anywhere quickly. So there is a copy of the book for everybody. There is a paper if you want. If there's any other questions, I'm still here for a couple more minutes. So thank you very much and have a nice conference.